Hey Giants fans, welcome to another off-season edition of the Single Fat Football Fan Podcast. I'm Chi, and I'm here with Matt. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well, man. This is the fun part, you know? Looking at everybody who's available, trying to project how much money the Giants are going to throw at Adrian Peterson. Get us that workhorse back we've all been dying for.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? Adrian Peterson has really been campaigning in the media to go on the Giants. Why do you think that is?
I mean, as soon as the Giants cut Jennings and Cruz, he tweeted semi-cryptically how the Giants are making some interesting moves. You know, right. But you think about it, he's what, 32, I think now?
Yeah, 32 years old.
I mean, he's like 5 years past when running backs are no longer usually effective in the NFL, you know? So he's got to think he only has a couple of years left to win a title. So part of me is flattered that he thinks the Giants give him that opportunity, you know?
Interesting. Yeah.
Because at this point, no one's going to give him a lot of money. And he's already made tons of money, especially for a running back in the NFL, that at this point, like, does he want to go to Cleveland for, you know, $4 or $5 million more dollars?
Let me ask you a question. So you're saying that you think Adrian Peterson wants to come on the Giants because he thinks that this is a legit contender and he wants to win a Super Bowl before he goes out.
I mean, why else would
Here's my question, though. Do you think Peterson watched any Giants games this season? No, I'm serious. That's a serious question.
I mean, one of our worst offensive performances was when we went into Minnesota. So it's also possible that he looks at the Giants right now and he thinks they have a rookie running back in Paul Perkins who's still a bit of an unknown, and then behind him is really nobody. So he obviously also wants to play still and be relevant. So the Giants make a lot of sense because they do have stability at QB, at least I think so, and there's an opening to actually get some carries and play some snaps.
Yeah, that all makes sense. But the reason I'm asking if Peterson actually watched any Giants games is, based on the type of runner that he is and how the Giants' offensive scheme works,
I know.
I can't think of a worse match for each other than a shotgun three-wide receiver team and a running back who can't run out of shotgun and who can't pass protect.
I mean,
so that's why I'm wondering, like, if he watches Giants games, if he's thinking, like, you know what? Maybe this isn't such a great fit for me, the style of runner I am.
But you also have to think, how many players really approach free agency thinking about that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, right?
That's a good point. No, that's actually a very good point, yeah. Here's the other thing about Adrian Peterson that I think that's interesting about being a football fan in 2017. Fans are a lot savvier and a lot smarter now.
Yes.
Because I feel like 10 years ago, if a name like Adrian Peterson comes up, I think Giants fans would just go, like, gaga for it. Like, oh my God, we're going to get Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, no, for sure.
The Adrian Peterson? But now, the reaction from Giants fans has been pretty much like, meh.
Now, yes, right? Agreed. And even most of the beat writers, I don't think I've read one article yet from any of their beat writers suggesting that this would be a good move.
Yeah.
I mean, every Giant fan knows this move makes just absolutely no sense. And he's not even that good of a pass catcher, you know? So
it's not just that he's not good of a pass catcher. He's really a bad pass catcher.
Yeah.
And he's really not effective in the passing game because he can't pass block either. So I feel like if you know, if you're a serious Giants fan and you watch the games, you're not just looking at the names, as most people who are listening to a podcast in the offseason are, they probably agree with everything we're saying, right? If you're taking the pulse of Giants fans.
Yes,
here.
For sure. And I think if Adrian Peterson goes to the right team, he could still be a very effective, you know, 18 carry a game back. But it'll be a disastrous fit, as you mentioned, if he comes to the Giants.
So here's the thing, Matt. I'm gonna put this out there, okay? Adrian Peterson had 1,500 yards in the last healthy season he had, which was 2015. He was injured last year. So he was still very good just 1 year ago.
Yeah.
He's coming off an injury-riddled season where he didn't really play. So we know that he's going to come relatively cheaply.
And this is a guy that tore his like ACL or like an MCL in December, and then the following year he ran like 2,000 yards. These are freaks.
Exactly. He's a freak, man. He's an all-time great running back.
Yes.
Just in terms of running the ball, you know? If I'm sure if this, he grew up in the 1970s, we'd be talking about Adrian Peterson all the time.
No, he's had a phenomenal career.
Now, at the right price, I honestly think Adrian Peterson actually makes a lot of sense for the Giants.
Well, what is that right price? Before I go crazy.
You always want to talk money, man. You know, it's not always about money.
It is always about money.
No, you're right. It is always about money when it comes to football. But let me just say why I think that this might make sense, okay? If the Giants are willing to change their scheme a little bit and actually run under center more and develop a play action game more, which I think would honestly really help this offense.
And in the second half of the season, they did make some, at least some minor efforts to put Eli under center.
Minor efforts. But if you had Adrian Peterson, you would need to make more of an effort than they even did. I honestly think that those changes could help the offense, especially next year. Presumably, they'll have a fullback. They'll have a better blocking tight end, I hope. Hopefully, they'll be more effective as a traditional running team under center.
I mean, look, when we did the Falcons-Patriots podcast before the big game,
yeah,
we mentioned that both of these teams have actually a very effective power run game, especially Atlanta.
Yes, they do.
And they're two of the best play-action teams in the NFL.
Exactly.
And if you look at the Giant passing game, I mean, every yard we get is just such a struggle. Unless we get one of those quick slants to Beckham and then he does the rest. Us moving the ball, the Giants moving the ball is a grind. So,
and it's not like you are some explosive pass offense, right? No. So it's like the justification for just throwing all the time with three wide receivers. If anything, I feel like Giants fans might be sleeping a little bit on Adrian Peterson, because if you get a good Adrian Peterson and he has the kind of year that he did in 2015, 1,500 yards, this is a top-tier player that could really elevate.
Yeah, but the argument against that is that while even 2 years ago he was super effective, he's 32 years old and he's coming off another major injury, and especially in the NFL, as you know, players hit that wall and then they're just useless, you know?
Completely agree. But here's the thing, the Giants,
and there's a lot to suggest that he's going to hit that wall probably next year.
To win a Super Bowl, you need not just top-tier performances from your players, but you need to get top-tier performances at a bargain rate.
I mean, could Adrian Peterson produce, I mean, this may not make the most sense, but can he be like what Chris Long was for the Patriots? You know, that vet guy that signed for nothing and has these occasional good moments, you know?
Here's the thing. I don't think, if you're only getting somebody who's just a part-time player, it's not worth it to sign Adrian Peterson. But if you can get top-tier performance, like something close to a 2015-level performance from Peterson, you need that to be a legit Super Bowl contender. The question is, like you said, and this is what it comes down to, what is the price that you want to put on taking that risk?
You know, I've been so anti-Peterson, as you know, I haven't even thought about what I would give him.
Really?
I feel a little embarrassed that I'm not prepared, because I just
go with a one-year contract, okay? A one-year or two-year contract.
Well, here's the thing. Right now, I think Shane Vereen's cap hit is, I think, maybe
$5 million.
Yeah. I think they,
you'd save like $4 million by cutting.
Yes, I think it's like 375, I think, or so. Yeah. So, I mean, would you rather have Shane Vereen for $5 million? Or would you rather have, you know, Adrian Peterson for what, like $6 million? Would he do a 1 year, $6 million deal? I think I'd rather have Shane Vereen.
Really? Yeah. In this Giants offense?
Yeah.
Look, Shane Vereen is the... How are you guys going to use Shane Vereen? I mean, let's be honest, dude. Really.
Look, before Shane Vereen got hurt, he was having a nice year for the Giants. He was like our best running back running the ball, which I know doesn't say much, especially early in the year, but he's arguably our most complete back we have right now.
If you keep Shane Vereen, which, by the way, I don't think you should do Adrian Peterson or not, and you just hand off the ball and just use him like a normal running back, like, there's no reason. Shane Vereen is not worth close to the $4 million you would save by cutting him if that's how you're going to use him. Just a regular running back who comes out of the backfield and catches checkdowns.
Of course, but before he got hurt, I mean, he was a big part of our passing game. You know, it's unfortunate that he was in way more than he was, I think, in his first year. Of course, if we're not going to use him as a pass catcher, I mean, it's a waste of a signing, obviously, but... Right now, I think Shane Vereen, if we're going to use him the way that he should be used, is way more valuable to the Giants than if we were to bring in Adrian Peterson.
If you were the Falcons or you were the Patriots, and you asked me, would you rather have Adrian Peterson or Shane Vereen? I would say Shane Vereen. But if I'm the Giants, I'm thinking, like, I need a superstar performance. If I could get Adrian Peterson,
but
for
he's
Shane
not going to give
cost,
you a superstar performance.
You don't know that, man. Because
I
you
mean,
don't know, he's
32
one
years
year,
old,
no, no,
coming
no.
off another
he's
major
one year removed.
Injury.
Adrian Peterson is 1 year removed from having a 1,500 yeah. yard season.
I mean, he's taking so many hits and he's so hurt.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm saying he probably won't. He probably won't, but there's a chance he could. Okay, he's not that far removed from having been an yeah. awesome running back.
Yes.
And it maybe if you were healthy last season, maybe he could have, you know, and maybe that actually helps you because that's actually just less wear and tear on his body, you know, that he basically missed a whole year. I just think that at $5 million, that what you're paying Shane Vereen and no more, and I don't know if Peterson would sign for that, like a 2-year, $10 million deal. I'm guessing he wouldn't. If he would, I honestly think Giants should pull the trigger and make that move.
I strongly disagree with that, but...
Really? Yeah. Well, what price do you want Peterson at, then? Any price? Is there any price? Like, if he was like, all right, I'll sign for the vet minimum, would you take
it? I mean, if he would take the vet minimum after week one so we can cut him whenever we want, then yes.
That's not happening.
I know.
That's not
happening. I know. So...
So that's really your...
I would take Adrian Peterson for the vet minimum if we sign him after week one so we can cut him whenever we want.
That's
the
just,
only
that's, come on,
that's
man.
The only
come
condition
on,
I would take Peterson on this team.
Come on, man, dude. That's you are
I don't want an old
you
beat
are
up
way undervaluing the potential. Way undervaluing the potential of Adrian Peterson. I'm not saying this because he's just a big name. Like I'm saying that this because
But gee, the problem is that Paul Perkins showed a lot of promise, but I'm not at a point yet as a Giant fan where I trust him to be our true number one. So I can't have a number two behind him that can fall apart at any second, is a bit broken and a bit damaged right now. I would feel
Matt,
safer
look,
as a
look,
Giant
Matt,
fan.
Matt, look, these days, if you spend $3 million or $5 million on a running back, it's not like Paul Perkins can carry the ball 30 times a game.
No,
anyways,
of course
right?
not.
So
he's going
to
carry it.
There's plenty of carries to go around, especially in a hurry-up offense, especially at Peterson's age. So it's not like, you know, the running backs the Giants have on the roster right now, they're going to need more running backs than that.
Yes.
Because these running backs are going to
carry them
through
the
whole season.
I don't want to go into the season with Darkwa as a number two and Vereen as a number three. Of course not. And Adrian Peterson obviously is an upgrade over Orleans Darkwa. I'd rather have Peterson take 10 carries a game than Orleans.
If he's healthy.
Yeah,
if he's healthy.
But at a cap hit of, you know, $6 million or so, give or take, I just think that's too much when the Giants have way more other priorities like re-signing JPP.
Okay, but you went from, you just said $6 million. But you think that even the vet minimum is too much for Adrian Peterson. The vet minimum, that's crazy.
I just think the Giants
if Adrian Peterson
have
would sign for the vet minimum for the Giants.
Other concerns right now than to spend that type of money on Adrian Peterson, yeah. And the vet minimum for a veteran, that's guaranteed for the entire season.
That's $1 million, man. Who cares? That's 900K, dude.
The Giants are not swimming in cash, especially once they hopefully re-sign JPP. And there's no way he would even take that type of deal. So this is a moot point anyway.
So Giants fans, you know, tell us what you think. What is the price that you would sign Adrian Peterson at? Speaking of Jason Pierre-Paul. And the franchise tag. There's been a lot of chatter about this.
So here's where I'm at with the franchise tag. I think it's a smart business move for the Giants to slap him with that tag just to give themselves a bit more leverage because there's zero chance JPP would ever take that 1-year deal. He wants a guaranteed contract, a multi-year deal for sure. So why not just slap him with the tag? I think it's a no risk move for the Giants.
I don't agree with that, first of all, because hang on. You think that JPP wouldn't want to? He's 28 years old, right?
Yes. Yep.
He'll be 29 by the end of the next season. You don't think that he would happily play at
no.
$17 million guaranteed
no.
for
no
one
chance.
Season?
No chance.
And then go into free agency again.
Gee, there's no way he would take a 1-year deal. And let's say he does take that 1-year deal. He has a down year, which could happen. We don't know. I mean, in the NFL at times, you know, you have these seasons that things just don't come together. And now he's a 29-year-old guy with, you know, 8.5 fingers coming off a bad year. He's been a little bit injury prone throughout his career. You think then he's going to get the type of multi-year deal that he can get right now?
Yeah,
his stock's never been
market,
higher than right now.
Look at the market for defensive ends, man. Look at the market for defensive ends of what people get.
Yeah.
Okay. If Jason Pierre-Paul just has a slightly down year and he plays for $17 million guaranteed, yeah, he'll probably get a little bit less money next year, but he's still going to get a big deal plus the $17 million that he's going to get from the Giants this year. So I think if you guys did tag Jason Pierre-Paul, it doesn't give you the kind of leverage that you are implying, because I think that Jason Pierre-Paul would call your bluff. He'd be like, all right, if you're going to franchise tag me, I'll play 1 year under the franchise tag, knowing that you guys won't franchise tag him again next year with the 20% increase, because then that would be like, you know, like $21 million or something like that.
And then we're not going to pay him, you know,
exactly
$30-some million over 2 years guaranteed. So,
yeah. But,
and look, 17 here, million.
Let me ask you another question.
Yes.
Let's just assume I'm right and that Jason Pierre-Paul is actually willing to play under the franchise tag. 1 year, $17 million. Are you willing to do that?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Because look, I think his annual contract this year is going to be, assuming he gets a multi-year deal, I think it's going to be around $15 million per year. And in fact, I think ESPN actually projected 4 years, 59 with 21 guaranteed. I think the guarantee feels a little bit low, but I think the annual pull per year is honestly right in line with what I was expecting. Olivier Vernon got 17, I believe, per year, and he's right, and that was when he was, I think, 25 at the time last year. JPP's not as good as Vernon. He's 4 years older or so, give or take, 3 years older. And yeah, I think 4 years, 60, with a little under half guaranteed, is a very, very fair deal for both parties. And look,
I'm not talking about... No. I'm not talking about the long-term contract. Because if you did give him that kind of guarantee, right, with a four-year deal, his cap hit next year wouldn't be $17 million.
No, of course. Because they'll structure it in a way where...
So I'm talking about 1 year, $17 million for the year 2017. You're saying you're okay with that? You're actually okay with paying him that kind of money?
I mean, I obviously don't love it because the Giants have so many other priorities and they would really jam us up. Of course, as you mentioned... I mean, that first year, assuming he does sign that multi-year deal, will be structured in a way where the cap hit would be so low. But I think it's a risk worth taking because I just cannot believe he would settle for the franchise tag in a one-year deal and walk away from, you know, $28, $29, $30 million guaranteed.
Matt, will you tell our listeners about something?
Sure.
How did you feel last year when the Giants signed JPP to a one-year, $10 million contract? One year, $10
million. I thought it was a lot.
You thought it was way too much for JPP. You hated it.
I did.
You went nuts about it.
Well, I went nuts about it.
I'm talking about 1 year, $10 million, dude. $10 million for 1 year. And now you're telling me that you're okay with a 1 year, $17 million
deal for JPP? I never said I was okay. I obviously don't... I would not... want to sign him for 1 year, 17. I'm saying if that's the risk you have to take, I don't think it's brutal. And look,
you went from just being livid about a 1 year, $10 million. It's not like you were just, it's okay.
Keep in mind this. His first year back with the Giants, I think his first game back was against, I think, the Buccaneers like 2 years ago. That was his first game back post all of his surgeries. And he had a nice year, but he missed so many tackles, so many sacks because of that big club. And I felt like the market for JPP at the time was pretty low. And a one-year, 10-year deal I thought was a bit generous given what I think his market value at the time was. Now, this year, he proved to be one of the top defensive ends in the NFL, right? I think we both agree on that.
Yes.
And it's
top 10.
Yes,
top 10.
Yes. And not only that, but he's a complete player. Plays the run and plays the pass. So... I want him back badly. I just think he wants that multi-year deal so badly that you could really use that tag as leverage. Because he will get $28, $29, $30 million guaranteed. That's a fair deal. So there's no way he would walk away from that and then risk playing on a one-year deal.
Here's the thing. Like you said, JPP played very well last season.
Yes.
He was a top defensive end. So last season, how much was he worth in terms of his market rate given his play? I would say he's worth about 15, 16, 17 million, right?
Well, if Olivier Vernon signed for 17 annually, then JPP's got to be around 15.
No, I'm just saying the production, given the production that he gave you.
Yeah, I would say
he
was
slightly
below where Vernon was.
Fine.
But close.
So you want to sign a defensive end for market rate?
Yeah, I think fair.
Okay, fine. and you want to sign, and you're okay with Olivier Vernon, you sign him for market rate. So you sign everybody on your team for a market rate deal. What's your record going to be at the end of the season?
Well, of course, that's
if you
that's
pay everybody.
Part, that's part of being a GM is understanding who do you have to let go and who do you need to re-sign. The Giants are not going to give John Hankins market rate deal. He's going to be a guy that they say will have to walk away.
If you sign everybody to a market rate deal, you're going to be a market rate team, which means you're going to be 7-9, 8-8 if everybody stays healthy. If you have a couple of injuries,
yeah,
you're going
to
be a 6-1.
I'm not saying the Giants should sign every single one of their free agents to a market rate deal. I'm saying JPP's a guy that you give that market rate deal
to. You're already paying Vernon that much money.
So are you advocating for the Giants to let JPP walk because they've already made such a high investment in Olivier?
Here's the problem with signing defensive ends. There's simply no value in signing a defensive end because the way that the NFL is structured right now, defensive ends are the highest paid players. Their franchise tag is $17 million for a defensive end. The outside linebacker tag, you could tag Von Miller for like $14.5 million. There's no value at the defensive end position, especially for the top tier guys like Jason Pierre-Paul. And now, we're not talking about a quarterback. We're talking about defensive ends. We want to devote that much money to Jason Pierre-Paul and to Olivier Vernon. I just don't think that there's any value in that.
Look.
And in a league where there's a salary cap, that's what the main thing is. And that's why I advocated for signing Adrian Peterson. Because there's potential. There's potential value in that contract if he has a great year.
Yeah, but the odds of that value of that contract for AP actually being valuable to the Giants is extremely slim. But we know what we're going to get from JPP. As you said, he's a top tier end. And if you're making the argument that ends as a unit are overvalued, fair, I can get behind that. But the Giants right now are not in a position to suddenly feel like they no longer value defensive ends. So and if they let JPP walk, then what's the alternative? There's nobody behind him on the Giants right now that can step in. You look at the free agency list.
I really think that if you're going to worry about the defensive end position, yeah, because with $17 million, and this is the other thing, I would rather have a rotation of two or three good guys than one top-tier defensive end, because when you're talking about the fourth quarter of a game and Jason Pierre-Paul is on snap 50 or snap 60 or snap 70 or snap 80...
And if you recall how the Giants used Vernon and JPP, that's not an exaggeration.
Exactly. That player is not going to be a top 10 defensive end, performing at a top 10 defensive end level at snap 60.
Yes,
He'll do it at snap 30, yes. But he won't do it at snap 60. At snap 60, he's probably only going to be as good as Jabal Sheard at snap 30. Maybe not even that good. And that's why, to me, it's not like a corner, right? Because right now, a tag number for a corner is like $12.5 million. To me, there's a lot of value in that. Like a Jenkins. Because a Jenkins is just as valuable to the defense as a Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah.
But you're paying him $5 million less. So there's value in that. And on top of that, a corner, he's going to be relatively fresh at snap 60 or snap 70 in a way that a pass rusher won't be. So you put all that together, I would rather just use that money on getting Sheard or Andre Branch, maybe get those guys for combined 10, 12 million.
I mean,
you know,
how much do you
and
think...
And just go with a rotation.
How much do you think Sheard is going to get?
I think you could get Sheard and Andre Branch for combined, like, I don't know, 13, 14, 12 million, maybe.
Really? Look, I mean, Sheard's been underpaid for the past couple of years. He's only 27 years old, and he's had for the most part.
And remember, he got benched this season.
Yes,
and
of course.
And 2 years ago, when he signed a contract for 2 years, $11 million.
Yeah.
So I just think that mid-range market for defensive ends, there's better value there than at the top-tier market, which to me is just crazy. Like, the numbers for... Let me ask you another question. Who is actually the best free agent defensive end available to see this year?
JPP?
No, it's not.
I can't think of... Oh, Jones from Arizona, correct?
Yeah, yes. Chandler Jones. Yes. Chandler Jones, 27 years old, great pass rusher, good complete player, you know. And who won the Super Bowl last year?
It wasn't the Giants, so honestly, I didn't really watch.
Yeah, it was the Patriots, man. The Patriots traded.
Yes.
They traded the best defensive end for a couple second round pick, for one second round pick. And why do they do that? Because the Patriots
didn't want to pay him, of course.
Are about value. Yeah. They are about value.
Yes. But the Patriots also had, they signed Chris Long for a phenomenal deal. And they already had Sheard on the team, who for the most part has played at a fairly high level for the Patriots, outside of maybe a few blips. The Giants don't have anybody right now. The gap between JPP and whether it's Aquara or Wynn, I mean, Aquara and Wynn are, in my mind right now, like replacement level players, you know?
But that's my point. The Patriots signed Chris Long for a 1-year, $2 million deal. An old guy. They knew he wouldn't be a full-time player. But they knew he could still rush the passer on 15, 20 snaps a game. And I just think that if you're going to sign defensive ends, that's the model you have to go for. You have to just get guys like Andre Branch. You have to take maybe the guy from Carolina. You know, maybe Charles Johnson won't get a lot of money. And just put him in as situational rushers. Some guys will play the first two downs, and then you bring your pass rusher for the third down, and you hope that combined, it's like a platoon in baseball. Yeah. You know, you get a righty and a lefty. You know what I mean? Instead of just signing that one superstar.
You got your first down guy, and then you got your third down guy. Yes, of course.
Look, that's why I honestly, right now, I might not tag JPP. Honestly, dude. And what do you think the Giants will do?
The Giants very rarely tag anyone. I think the last time they applied the tag was to Brandon Jacobs, I think, back when they signed him in like 2008. So I don't, and that ended up being a bad deal. So I don't think the Giants are going to tag him, and it's because I don't think they're going to have to, because I think that both sides...
You guys will come to a deal.
Yeah. And look,
For something in the $15 million per year range, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and look, I think your point's very valid. Why invest all that money in JPP where you can sign two guys and still have maybe $3 or $4 million left over? And that's fair, but I wouldn't want JPP back unless he was a truly complete player. And I think having a guy like JPP, who's honestly top 10, I think, against the pass and the run, those kind of guys are extremely rare. I mean, he's in a tier by himself as a 4-3 defensive end. And because those guys are so hard to find, and we can get him for $15 million a year, that's a worthwhile, you know, deal. It is.
If the Giants could sign JPP to like a 4-year deal with only $15 million per average, especially that ESPN projection of only 21 guaranteed, which seems way too low to me.
Yeah, same
which here. Seems way, like 21 guaranteed seems crazy low, because then you're talking about he's only getting what, $30 million in the first 2 years.
Yeah.
If we could get him for that kind of deal, I'm all on board, man. I'm all on board, really.
No, I agree.
But I just don't think he'll sign that kind of contract. I think it's gonna take a lot more guaranteed money.
Same.
Because
if that's all they're offering guaranteed, then if I'm him, I'm like, I'm just going to take the tag, get 17 guaranteed.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But if the Giants offer what they should be, which is probably closer to $30 million guaranteed, I think that's a very fair deal for both sides. I really do.
So you don't think the Giants will actually tag JPP?
No.
I'm like 60-40 on that, leaning no, but I could see it happening. But my point is that whether or not they do it or not, how the salary cap works and how much defensive ends make, I just can't justify giving him a 1-year $17 million deal. I just feel like if you guys win the Super Bowl next year with JPP and Vernon and Eli making what they're making and what they count against the cap, that'll be like unheard of, you know?
Yes.
And that's the goal, right? With the last few years of the Eli Manning era in the Giants, you're trying to win that Super Bowl. So that's why
I'm
against it. But hey, Giants fans, you know, let us know whether you agree with me or whether you agree with Matt on
hopefully me
on the tag for JPP and what you think a good contract would be to get him to bring him back. All right, Matt, you got any other last words?
No, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. This is always the fun part of the off season, you know. So
we got the combine coming up, I think, in 2 weeks, so we'll have a lot of nice pods coming up. This is always exciting because you look at rookies and you're like, man, you know, you could get a lot of help for it. You could get a lot of help on this team.
Yeah, I'm already looking forward to the OJ Howard 40-yard dash.
Thanks to our listeners for listening to another edition of the Single Fat Football Fan Podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes if you enjoyed this, or leave us a comment on the New York Giants subreddit, which is where you're probably linking from. And give us a follow on SFFF_podcast on Twitter. All right, Matt, I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Sounds good, man.